I'll tell you what. I mean, if we're going to be spending all this time together for the rest of the season, I mean, the least the Blue Jays can do is entertain us, which was the case tonight, a 10-3 Blue Jays win over the Cincinnati Reds. The series is tied up at one game apiece. Five home runs. Jose Berríos, another stellar outing. And we got to see Luke Maley pitch two innings of relief. For those of you who get your jollies watching position players pitch, congratulations. You got your fill of it tonight. I think it's an abomination. If you feel that way, or even if you don't feel that way, call up. The numbers are 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Had Dan Shulman on Blue Jays Talk, or on Blair and Barker earlier today, and he made a comment about August and September. And one of the things he said, and I love this line, one of the things he said is, look, the Blue Jays are on a fact-finding mission the rest of this season. And that is absolutely the way to put it. Part of that, or the focus of that fact-finding, has got to be the left-handed hitters that they acquired in trades. I mean, I would think at some point, not just the left-handed hitters, we'll see Jonathan Clase up here. We're probably going to see Jake Bloss at some point as well. But he's a pitcher. But more importantly, it's sorting out what exactly the Jays have in Joey Loperfido and Will Wagner. Spencer Horwitz, as I said, I think we've said this often, I think we kind of know what the Jays have with Spencer Horwitz. And credit Loperfido and Will Wagner, they're very much part of the offense today. Not on the home run side, but Loperfido with a double and just a really, really balanced attack from the Blue Jays tonight. 13 hits in the first, 4 1/3 innings. Really taking Carson Spires of the Reds out to the woodshed. Jose Berríos was awfully good again. Third start in a row. In his last three starts, 23 innings pitched, 4 earned runs. And it was interesting watching Jose Berríos tonight, because if you look at his pitch breakdown, now normally for the season, Jose Berríos throws 29% slurve, 33% sinker, 18% four-seamer, and his changeup usually comes in someplace around 16%. Well, we saw 33% of the sinker tonight, only 15% of the slurve, 20% changeup, 28% four-seam fastball. He hit 97 in his last inning of work. And John Schneider made a point earlier today when he was talking about Berríos, Gausman, and Chris Bassett, and the Jays' three most established starters, and how he was going to use them the rest of the way this season with nothing at stake. Now, the usual caveat is just because the games have nothing at stake for the Blue Jays doesn't mean the games will not have an impact on the playoff races. They're going to be playing teams that are very much in playoff contention. So there is the integrity of the game demands that, you know, you put out your best effort. But John Schneider's point was essentially with Berríos and Bassett and Gausman, he's going to try to limit them to 100 pitches. I mean, obviously there's going to have to be some wiggle room. He's going to try to limit them to 100 pitches when they're in the game. He wants to keep them in a regular turn. The Jays have a lot of games. It's like 18 games in 17 days. Then when they get into the jaws of September, the schedule lightens up a bit. They've got 5 off days. So that'll take care of extra days rest and things of that nature. But that's how the Blue Jays are going to manage their three everyday starters the rest of the way. And that's important because unless something, you know, unless some sort of trade presents itself in the offseason, those three are going to very much be a part of what the Blue Jays are going to do next year. They are getting up there in age, certainly Gausman and Bassett, Berríos to a lesser degree. They've logged a lot of innings. So that is, if not necessarily a storyline to watch the rest of the way, it's certainly something to be cognizant of as the Blue Jays finish out this season. The numbers, 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. If you wish to text us, the text line is open. 590-590 is the text line. Let's go to Brendan in Alberta.
Hey, Jeff. I just wanted to talk to you about Leo Jimenez and kind of, I mean, like, if in the off season we're going to trade Bo Bichette potentially, and that's what everybody's talking about right now, then you're going to need a shortstop who can play every day and be at least an adequate contributor at the bottom of the lineup. And I'm seeing a lot of balance right now, at least from Jimenez. He's able to stay back on that back foot. And his defense at shortstop looks really, I mean, quite excellent. He might have, I mean, he's probably the, I don't know, third best upside shortstop the Jays have in terms of, I mean, like, Bo Bichette would be number one. You'd probably think Arjun Namala down the road, 2 or 3 years, would be the next guy with the best upside potential. But Jimenez, at least as a defensive player and a little bit of offense there that he can contribute with the bat, looks like he's at least a major league player to me.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with Leo Jimenez. I don't think he's an everyday starter on a championship team, on a contending team. And that's what the Blue Jays, now that's what they're going to try to tell us in the offseason, that that's what they plan on putting out in the field. Leo Jimenez has to show me that he can play multiple positions in order to have a spot in the team next year. Right now I've got Ernie Clement, who can play multiple positions and is quite frankly a better offensive option off the bench. You know, Bo Bichette is fun. Like, we've all traded Bo Bichette. I mean, God knows I've traded Bo Bichette about 100 times this season. But Bo Bichette is still with the Blue Jays. Bo Bichette still might be with the Blue Jays at the start of the year. So when you look at that, when you look at the fact that if Bo Bichette is moved, you know, the Blue Jays are going to have to figure out a way to get more offense in here. And I don't think they're going to be able to carry players like Leo Jimenez unless they can count on them to make a significant contribution off the bench. And it'd be great if he was a left-handed hitter. I'd much rather have a left-handed hitter off the bench. And it'd be great if he could play multiple positions. Now, I think John Schneider has said he wants to give Leo Jimenez a look at a number of different positions around the infield. And why not? You know, the organization, he's been in the organization for a while. People like him. There's a little bit of pop in that bat, which, you know, I think might surprise some people. But I would be really cautious, Brandon, about getting too carried away with anything I see, out of these guys. The bottom line is the Jays lineup has to be deeper next year. It has to be better next year. However, if that means moving Vladdy to third base, fine. Go ahead and do it. Whatever it takes to get a deeper, more balanced lineup next year. And for that reason, I mean, I'm not saying Leo Jimenez doesn't have a spot in the organization, but I would really be surprised. I would really be surprised if he is on this team next year. Would I be disappointed? If he comes in and has a great spring and forces his way on the team, would I be disappointed? No. But right now, I've got Ernie Clement, who can play multiple positions and, again, is more of a factor offensively. And as my friend Kevin Barker points out about Ernie Clement, I mean, one of the things you need to do to be a good bench player in Major League Baseball is you got to be able to have a simple, easily maintained swing. You've got to be able to contribute even if there's a 3 or 4 day span where you're not in the lineup. For that reason, I think Ernie Clement probably has a leg up. But hey, if you're a Leo Jimenez, what you are doing right now when you have games like this is you're attracting attention to yourself. Right? Not just with the Blue Jays, you're attracting attention on the part of other teams. You're playing the LA Angels. You're attracting attention from the Angels. You're playing the Reds. You're attracting attention from the Reds. Now, obviously, these teams, not every team has an opening at shortstop, but you never know what's going to happen in the offseason. So, do I think Leo Jimenez is a major leaguer? He will be at some point. Will he be with the Blue Jays? I don't think so. But, you know, again, we're dealing with a guy who's just in the really early stages of his major league career. And I'll say this, I do not mind I do not mind having the ball hit to him. And, you know, that's a start. 416-870-0590, star 590, 888-666-0590. Ty in Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Good evening, Blair. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Perfect. I just wanted to ask, how do you feel that the next generation of Canadian baseball players are going to feel if the Blue Jays cannot get something together within the next 5 to 7 years, especially when our next generation is coming into their early teens? But obviously the most impressionable, most eye-opening years of a kid's life.
Are you talking players or fans?
As fans into players, how do you think our kids are going to feel if Blue Jays cannot get them together as like a pridefulness, as a Canadian pride?
I mean, I don't know. It hasn't appeared to impact the Naylor family. Right? Yeah, I mean, I'm not getting your point here. Kids are going to play baseball regardless of whether or not the Blue Jays are good. Canadian kids are going to be drafted regardless of whether or not the Blue Jays are good. I don't think there's any connection.
Idle shift. We're looking at the next Joey Votto's, the next Romano's, the next Naylor's.
I think if you're looking for quote-unquote idols, you know, the Naylor's are perfect idols. Owen Casey is a prospect with the Cubs. Like, there are a lot of Canadian players out there. Would it be great if the Jays had a couple of Canadian stars in the team? Yeah. Hell yeah. It'd be great. But I don't think there's any connection at all with it. I really don't. I mean, until 2015 and 2016 came along, there were still Canadian guys playing baseball. Who were their idols then? I mean, the Blue Jays weren't that great up to that point. The Blue Jays were in the wilderness for a long, long time. Joey Votto emerged from that wilderness. So I'm not seeing your point when it comes to players. Now, when it comes to fans, well, then I think we're talking about something different, because one of the things 2015, 2016 did, Ty, is it really turned a new generation of fans onto the Blue Jays. I mean, it really did. I'm sure, Ty, you were out at the Rogers Center then during those playoff games. The crowds were young. It was a multi-ethnic group. I mean, it was a marketer's dream. It was an absolute marketer's dream. Those fans got turned on by Batista and Encarnacion and the bat flip and all that good stuff. And yeah, I have a little bit of concern as to how this fan base would handle a rebuild. This team's had Vladdy and Bo for 6 years, 5 years, and it hasn't won a playoff series. Those are two. I mean, think about this. How many homegrown Blue Jays, how many times have the Blue Jays had two homegrown players like Bichette and Guerrero? I mean, Bichette, a guy who was a threat to win a batting title, to lead the American League in hitting for a couple of years. Vladdy, who early in his career had an MVP caliber season. He's born in Canada. His dad is a much beloved Canadian. You know, Vladdy Sr. was much beloved by Expos fans. That's a whole hell of a lot of emotional currency to have tied up in a team. And if the Jays don't win while they have these two guys, I'm wondering what's next. And that's what concerns me. Maybe the ballpark will be enough to bring fans out here. That's entirely possible. But I'm looking at the Orioles. I'm looking at the Red Sox. I'm looking at the Yankees. I'm looking at Tampa Bay. It's going to be very easy with a lousy offseason or with a less than satisfactory offseason. It's going to be really easy for this team to get buried next year. And I don't know. I don't know how the fan base would react to that. I don't know. I don't want to find out either, to be quite honest. Like, I thought we started to see a gradual, what I say, deterioration, a softening, if you will, last year. And I think once that playoff exit happened, the something happened to the trust between this front office and the fan base. And I don't know how, I don't think it's been regained this year. I think the only way you regain it is by winning. And yeah, I have a lot of concern about this fan base and how you grow it. And, you know, what happens if this team ends up going 2 or 3, 4 years without a playoff berth? I mean, that's just not going to wash in this city. Now, let alone, I don't know how it's going to wash with ownership, you know, floating a $235 million payroll. So your point is well taken by half, but I don't think it's anything to do at all with the, you know, with the development of Canadian players. There are a lot of good Canadian players in the minors. There'll be plenty of Canadian ball players for kids to idolize. And you know what? Things are different now, too. Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto. I mean, players idolize kids kids idolize players regardless of where they're from. I really think the whole Canadian thing gets overblown. I really do. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590, 10-3. The Blue Jays have put the boots to the Cincinnati Reds. We're going to take a break, come back here from the skipper. Go back to the phone lines. It's Blue Jays talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, it was just kind of the one inning with the two walks after two outs. I thought his fastball was great, both two-seam and four-seam. Locating it well, got up when he needed to get up. I think it was just kind of, you know, one inning that was a little bit off. Probably took his foot off the gas a little bit, but I mean, I've said it a lot where his fastball kind of sets the tone, and I think his changeup was really good today too. So really, really aggressive with it, held it throughout the game, and probably more four-seamers tonight than what they were expecting, and I think him and Turkey did a good job of realizing it was really good.
That is John Schneider talking about Jose Berríos. 7 strong for Jose Berríos tonight. 6 hits, 2 earned runs allowed, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks. Further to John Schneider's comments, the Cincinnati Reds coming into this game probably expecting a lot more off-speed stuff from Jose Berríos than they saw. And as John Schneider pointed out, Jose Berríos, his fastball tonight was tremendous. 28% of his pitches were four-seamers. That's over 10% higher than his average. He hit 97 in his final inning of work. 20% change-ups as well. That's above his season average. Just 15% slurves, which is well below his season average. And absolutely, John Schneider is right. Credit Jose Berríos and Alejandro Kirk with probably completely befuddling the Cincinnati Reds with their game plan. Jose Berríos very, very much a part of this 10-3 Blue Jays win. The third and final game of this series goes tomorrow night at the Rogers Center. Chris in Stony Creek, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Jeff, great show as always.
Thank you.
Let me just make 2 points quickly, okay? I just want to touch on, I want to do the Chris Bassitt, and then I just touch on a point you said before about the lack of trust from the fan base. Like, when you're up there and you're giving the fan base a load of crap at the beginning of the season or the off season, saying, don't worry, everybody just had a bad year and we're going to give them more information and then they're going to be better. I mean, how can you trust that? Like, if you call me, if you say, Chris, come to the Blair House, we're going to have a great meal. And every time
we will have a great meal. I can guarantee you we'll have a great meal. I mean, I can absolutely guarantee you that.
Thank you, but you can understand my point. Like, if you call me over for dinner, and every time I come over there, it's this. The next time you call me over, I'm not going to trust you, and I am definitely not going to come. And it leads me to my second point about Chris Bassitt.
You can't say that word, by the way. You know that.
Oh, sorry about that, Jeff.
That's okay. Go ahead, continue.
This thing about Chris Bassitt, like it's so refreshing to hear these comments come from him, because when you hear Ross Atkins up there giving you a load, quote unquote, you know what I mean? And then finally somebody standing up and they're saying what we're all thinking and we all want to say, but we don't have the voice to say it because we don't have the platform to say it. It's refreshing to hear him say these things. It's like being in your house and you have a family member that nobody calls out, and then somebody stands up and says, that's enough, man. This is garbage. And you're like, yes, give it to him. So listen, great show and really refreshing the Chris Bassett stuff, and sorry for the profanity.
Yeah, that's okay. It's mild profanity. You didn't use the magic profane word, so that's fine. No, you came close, but you didn't use the magic profane word. Generally avoid hyphenated cuss words. That's usually a good rule to follow in life and indeed on the radio as well, or TV for that matter. Chris, listen, I had no problem with what Chris Bassett said. I had no problem with the way the whole thing was handled. I had no problem with him going to Arden and Shy and putting his comments in context. I had literally no problem with it at all. I would caution people, and I made this point with Bunkus this morning. Here's the thing. Chris Bassett was on a podcast that he is very much a part of. He's a regular contributor to the podcast. He could have spent, instead of coming out and saying, I could spend 45 minutes talking about blah, blah, well, then spend 45 minutes. It's your freaking podcast. Spend a whole hour and tell us what's going on if you want. Don't kind of lay that out there and then pull back, right? Like, it's like he said, I don't want to speak for Vladdy. And then he went on and spoke for Vladdy. So don't be doing that. That's the only thing I had an issue with. But yeah, look, did I disagree with anything he said? Nope. I certainly didn't disagree with anything he said. And I'm willing to bet that 99.9% of the Blue Jays fan base didn't disagree with it as well. And I'm willing to bet 100% of his teammates didn't disagree with it. And I'm also willing to bet that a lot of the coaches didn't disagree with what Chris Bassett said as well. Anyhow, that's it for us tonight. 10-3, a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk. Game 3 of this series goes tomorrow night at the Rogers Center. I'll be back after the game. I'll be back tomorrow as well from 4 to 6 Eastern on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet with Blair and Barker. I'll be there. Maybe Barker will make a guest appearance. Who knows? Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Scarborough on Shepherd Avenue, on St. Clair Avenue, and of course, can't forget these folks, on Midwest Road. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. They are Canada's number one rust protection.